This is an ABC podcast.
This is Niche and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirau Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bula Vinaka, and welcome to our Fijian listeners who I had the pleasure of being around on the weekend down in Lotoka. So to all the Westerners down there, Lola Vina, and welcome to everyone else, Tunisian Footy, the number one spot for our Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is the Cook Island fella that's just figured out ChatGPT, Tinirau Arona. T, welcome to the show, brother.
Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to you listening here on Tunisian Footy. A fun fact, this whole show is written on ChatGPT.
No wonder why you sound better. It's well done.
But a full round of NRL has completed over the weekend, and there's a lot to digest, so I'll run you through the games. We've also got a special guest, one of my mates, reporting live from the Cook Islands in Rarotonga,
ooh,
Clive Nicholas. So on our culture shock, you challenged me to give you a history lesson on our Pacific and Nisian tattoos. Well, who better to ask than the one who tattooed my arm?
Beautiful. Looking forward to that one.
We also have another guest who will be joining us, and she's played both codes, rugby union, then jumped and seen the light and came over to rugby league.
Yes, T, we have a Samoan superstar, Pauline Piliaia Rasambale, who's going to join us later on in the show. She's played at the highest level in rugby union for the Wallaroos at the World Cup. She's joined the West Tigers for their first season in the NRLW. Hey, she's also been pregnant with two boys and had to restart her career as well. So I can't wait to hear what she has to say in her journey and the fact that she's left rugby union to rugby league. But anyway, let's get on with the show.
Moment of the week.
Yes, as as Sam mentioned earlier in the introduction, he had another business trip and found his way over to Fiji, and he made sure to send me a photo of his business seat on the plane. What a guy.
I forgot about that. Oh, it was just a little cheeky upgrade, just when you know a few people in high places. Thank you very much. It was a great trip over to Fiji, but I was over there for the commentary of the Fijian Drua versus the Crusaders, which we will dive into.
Up the Drua.
Yeah, the Drua. Actually, wait there. 2 seconds. I've got something for you, T. I thought I'm going to convert you over to be a fan of theirs. Got your little hat, mate.
Oh, a Drua hat.
A Drua hat. There you go, brother.
Yes, the grey hairs are coming out, which means the hat is coming on.
Keep that on for the whole show, because when we get to Nisian knowledge, we're going to get into last week's answer around the Drua, all right? So make sure you keep that on.
Did you get a player?
Yeah, no, you got me there. No, I got someone even better, someone higher up, someone higher. But anyway, I was able to, you know, get some audio from a former superstar, Nemani Nondolo, flying Fijians, the Jonah Lomu for all Fijians, for a cheeky little chat before the game, and also Caleb Munt, who's recovering from an ACL injury. He's the number 10 for the Fijian Drua and also went to the World Cup last year. But the atmosphere in Fiji, oh, man, you just can't beat it. Like, as soon as you get off the plane, bang, the humidity. It absolutely hits you in the face, sweating straight away. Our man Nemani, he hasn't been back to Fiji since 2019. He was carrying a sweat towel with him everywhere. Like, the big man, he was wearing tights because he didn't want to get any chafe, and he was getting mobbed everywhere he went. Like, he's a superstar over in Fiji. But seeing all the Drua shirts, all the fans, everyone lining up early for the game, like 2 hours before kickoff, there was already thousands of people lined up at the gate ready to get in there and watch their team go against the Drua. So we'll have a listen just pre-game. Mind you, we had a debrief on the commentary team, what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it. And I pulled Big Nems away and Caleb away and just, oh, can you do a little cheeky interview for Nisian Footy? He was giving it to me. He goes, mate, this wasn't in the run sheet. Oh, mate, I need to invoice you for this. He was carrying on, was it? But there, he ended up being a good sport and jumping on for us. Here in Lotoka, first time back for you, Nems, since 2019.
Yep.
What's it like to be back here in Fiji?
Yeah, it's good. It's good to be back. Very humid. But in saying that, to be back here at Churchill Park, I played my last test match here and didn't end well for me. hurt myself, and that was my last test ever on Fiji soil. But in saying that, hopefully that's a different story for the Drua today. Hopefully they can come out. They're going to need the win. But look, the crowd's building. We're still 2 hours away from the game, and I'm very excited, particularly from what happened last year, between the last game and how it went down to, was it Kemu kicking the winning goal?
Yep.
Hopefully we can get that today.
I've got injured superstar fly at half here, Caleb Munce. Mate, we could not walk anywhere without you getting stopped for a photo or something. What's it been like for yourself coming from New Zealand and living and breathing here and playing footy in Fiji?
Yeah, it's been awesome, actually. Fiji, they gave me a chance, to have a career in this and to play the game that I love. So, and the fans are just, they're the best fans in the world, eh? They know all the players. They're not shy to stop you, and I'll never say no to a photo or say hello to them, because at the end of the day, I get to play this game because of them. So it's awesome.
Oh, that is beautiful. You know, for the players, you know, when they come play at home, like, does it get spoken about how much it means, like, inside for them to, you know, perform in front of their people?
Yeah, it definitely does, especially in Super Rugby. All the, especially boys our age and a bit older, all grew up watching Super Rugby, and they were always the heroes of all these boys. So for them to actually have a team in here now and being able to compete against players that they've looked up to, they've watched on TV, it means the world to them. And it's amazing how much it means to the fans as well. You kind of draw a lot of your energy from the fans, and knowing how much it means to them, it kind of adds an extra motivation to you when you play.
Yeah, big shout out to Big Nems and Caleb for jumping on. Even against their will, but it was good to have them on. I had some family members sit in the old part of the stadium, like it's just got the wooden seats. And when the Drua are starting to like score some tries and they were getting excited, all of them jumping up and down, like he was genuinely concerned that, oh, please stop jumping, like it's going to break. But and that's what the atmosphere was like. It was, you just can't beat it, honestly. You just cannot beat it. The music that was pumping in the background, it is just a vibe, and the kids just going mad, and they've got six more home games over in Fiji.
Hey guys, Valentine Holmes here from the Cowboys, and you're listening to Nation Footy.
Yes, it's time for the footy news and results, so let's dive straight into the NRL and last weekend's games. Five games in total from Friday, because we had the games over in the UK, plus one team having the bye, which was the
Tigers.
Tigers had the... Thanks, Sammy.
Yeah, off to a good start. The Tigers, big year for them.
We've seen a gritty performance, though, from the Cronulla Sharks, who went over to New Zealand and beat the New Zealand Warriors 16-12. I thought Aiden Fanua-Blake, he got them off to a huge start, the Warriors, you know, scoring the first try against his future teammates. But tries from Ronaldo Mulitalo and Siosifa Talakai ensured the Sharks the 2 points.
Wyatt comes open side left. This is play four. Trindle through hands. Brayley to Hines. Over the top he goes to Talakai. He's got some room now for Mulitalo, who's wrapped up by Walteziak. But going over to score is Siosifa Talakai. He had the foresight, Mulitalo, to get the footy away. And Talakai can finish off the handiwork. And with that, he puts the Sharks in front.
Straight after that game, we've seen Craig Bellamy continue his round one win streak with the Melbourne Storm beating the three-peat champions, the Penrith Panthers, 8-0.
8-0?
Yep.
I've never heard of a nilt. What's a nilt?
You never heard nilt?
Nah.
Must be an England thing. but Craig Bellamy making it 22 straight wins for round one in the NRL.
That's impressive.
Very, very impressive.
What an impressive stat that is.
I thought that there was just great D from the Storm. I thought Taylor May, once again, you know, he really caused some headaches for the Melbourne Storm defensive line. But I just want to give a huge congratulations to Samoan Moses Leota, playing 150 NRL games and all for the Penrith Panthers. You can head over to the Panthers' Instagram page and see a special clip where his partner Stella and his kids presented him with his jersey. It was a lovely moment for Moses and his family.
That is special, just the tears rolling down his face. You know, you see such a tough man on the field, absolute weapon, and then to be able to, you know, receive that special moment, that jersey, that 150, because, you know, the average, what's the average?
The average amount of games?
Amount of games, yes, in the NRL?
Good question.
I think it's about 40.
Not many.
I think it's 40, the average. And then less than 1% of the population get to play. So to reach 150, have your jersey being presented by your partner and your kids, it doesn't get much better than that.
The Parramatta Eels were on fire beating the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs 26-8. A huge stint from Tor Samoa captain Junior Bolo, who took 19 carries and ran for 163 metres. The Bulldogs making 13 errors to the Eels 4, and the Eels with 16 offloads to the Bulldogs 3. Always going to be a tough day at the office when you look at them kind of numbers.
Where did I tip the Eels to finish?
Wooden spoon, I believe.
Yeah, off to a great start there. Mate, oh, whatever I'm tipping people, go the opposite.
And finally, the only game played on Sunday, North Queensland Cowboys put on an absolute stunner of a show, defeating the Dolphins 43-18. Seven tries in total, Sammy, for the Cowboys. Seven tries in total. Cook Islander Valentine Holmes kicking 7 from 7. I thought the Cowboys' spine really directed the team around the pitch, which gave opportunities for individuals to score points. Now we've seen Jeremiah Nanai, Murray Taulangi, and one of my favourite rising stars, Helam Luki, all cross over for a try. But PNG Kumu, Zach Labert, at the right centre there for the Cowboys, he was sensational. He scored 2 tries, 1 try assist, 2 line breaks, and made 175 metres.
45 out the Cowboys from the Dolphins line. They run it to the right, Townsend through Nane to Labert, who steps off his right and infield. Labert into the backfield. Labert will score the Cowboys' first try of 2024. Running it on the last. They've rolled the dice. And a beautiful right foot step from Zach Labert puts North Queensland into the lead early at the Cauldron.
So he made the break, had the ball in his left hand, came up against the hammer, done a one-hand offload dummy, and then the hammer took the dummy, pretty much went bang, went out, brought the ball back in, and then went over the under the post pretty much untouched. Well, that's it for the NRL, and remember, you can hear it anywhere on ABC Radio Australia. Queensland Cup, PNG Hunters, with a huge home win in Port Moresby, beating the Wynnum Manly Seagulls 36-22. Great work to the PNG Hunters. Off to a great start.
Over to Rugby Union T. It was jam-packed again this week. Let's just start with your tipping results. You tipped the Highlanders over the Waratahs.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Got the job done.
The Waratahs had a penalty kick on full time. 30 metres out, probably to the left. Did of they? The upright, yes,
so
on full time.
Final score, 23-21 to the Highlanders.
It could have been 24-23. Tane Edmund lined up the kick.
How far out again?
About 30 metres, just left of the upright.
No.
Like it was a... Oh.
Nah, that's the ugly spot. You know why? Because the kickers don't practice there. They practice in front and or they practice on the sideline. But that range there, Lima Sopoanga used to miss them all the time.
I know, but he's been practicing a lot lately and I'm there going, come on, Tars, come on. I can't let T get this one. That's the only reason why I was going for the Tars, because I just did not want you to have a massive lead in the tipping contest. But it wasn't meant to be. They missed a kick. The Highlanders got up. But in that game, I thought Samoa and Azai Peresi. Remember we ran the hills with Sand Dunes with Izzy Peresi? Remember
we Yeah?
Yeah, so he was playing third.
Did he play?
Outside centre in that game.
How good.
Absolutely back to his very best. He was very good in that game. Broke so many tackles and set up a really good try for Mark Nwanganituwase, the Fijian fly heading off to the Roosters. But yeah, so the Highlanders got the job done. You got the job done with your tipping. Well done. T, Moana Pacifica hosted the Rebels. And we've got to start with a big congratulations to the Samoan bus. Julian Savia, who scored his 61st try to break Israel Folau's try-scoring record, which was 60. But it wasn't enough to help Moana Pacifica win the game. The Rebels go back-to-back to win 29-23. And to be honest, I think, you know, results like that for the Melbourne Rebels, considering what they're going through, it means a lot to their fans and to their players. So they got the away win there on that one. And in that game as well, young Thomas Mucker, a young Tongan boy, his dad I played with him at the Two Blues in Parramatta. Whamaka, but his uncle's famous. Istola Maka played for the All Blacks, and his other uncle, Finau Maka, played for Tonga in the 2007 World Cup when the Tongan and Samoans came together for a beast of a game. Young 20-year-old made his debut for Moana Pacifica, a hooker, went over there to get a chance to play Super Rugby, live out his dream, and he did that. So congratulations to Thomas Maka. Outstanding work there. Then we come to probably, again, the game of the round. This game certainly didn't surprise any Fijians at all. The Fijian Drew have got the job done again against the defending champions, the Crusaders, in La Toka, 20-10.
Is that 0-3 for the Crusaders now?
That is 0-3. First time they've been 0-3 since 1996.
Wow.
The longer the game went on, you just saw from the commentary box that the Crusaders were just bending over, hands on their knees, sucking in the big ones. And, you know, the effort's off the ground. Because of the sweat and the humidity, like being on the ground at the bottom of a ruck, like it's just, you feel like you're in an oven. You're just there and there's heavy bodies lying on top of you. So to them to get off the ground again and get into their defensive line retreat, like they just weren't, I was looking for that Crusaders where they're going, okay, they're going to come home here, turnover attack, okay, rolling more. Someone's going to close this game out. They're too good. Skills under pressure. It just didn't happen. And that's a credit to the Drua's defense. They defended their line for about 20 minutes, or 15, 20 minutes, and got the turnovers, played at the right parts of the field. Isaiah Ravula, we've mentioned him every week so far. He's really finding a home in that 10 jersey. Celestino Ravutamanda, his try in the corner. Again, mate, he could step you in a phone booth. He's got lightning feet. Moana and the Drua sit in 9th and 10th place, both with 1 from 3. That's our rugby union news for another week.
Nijan Footy with Sam and T.
All right, let's head over to Shelley Long with the long story short.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Shelley, thank you for joining us again on your show. And I just want to ask you straight away, how was your first game on the weekend?
Oh, it was really good. I was super happy with how I performed, but also how my team performed. It was definitely tough conditions. It felt like a cyclone when I walked out of the hotel to catch the team bus. The wind was crazy. It was like we were walking out to warm up and you could not see. Like the rain was that heavy as well. So it was... it was crazy, but super good. We got the win, and I'm feeling super excited leading into the rest of the season.
Yeah, it must help having 15 Cowboys girls in the team to be able to click and get the win. If you're lucky, it's been easy to be cohesive for a round one start.
I definitely think that, you know, obviously having a few of the Cowboys girls in team helped, but I think for us, it's definitely a base for us that game, and we'll definitely keep working on our combinations and things like that. But mind you, when we talk about Cowboys being in that team, there was also quite a few amount of representative players in that Tweeds Eagles, and across the board, a few New South Wales rugby league players have come across the border to represent in their own individual teams.
Yeah, talk us through that. The Queensland Cup, so started for the women. What results and players caught your eye over the weekend?
Yeah, so two teams really caught my eye. They were history-making teams. The Sunshine Coast Falcons and the Western Clydesdales made history over the weekend after winning their first ever round game. So the Sunshine Coast Falcons won 34 points to 16 over the Brisbane Tigers, while the Western Clydesdales won 22 points to 18 over the Capras. In saying that, someone who really stood out to me was Amelia Cook. She played in the North Devils team against Burley on the weekend. She's a proud mum of two and also a returning Orchids player. So she previously represented the Orchids and the Brisbane Broncos. She's had two barbs and finally come back to footy. So I was super excited for her and definitely someone I loved watching.
Oh, very nice. Outstanding. Well, speaking of the Orchids, some positive news out of PNG.
Yes, some exciting news and really exciting for Women's Rugby League in PNG. A major boost to the women's rugby league over there. So a four-year deal, $9.7 million investment was made between several organisations and the government. It's one of the most significant investments into PNG rugby league in a whole. So not just the women's space, but also including the men's, which is incredible when you think about it. And I think it's definitely just goes to show that they're breaking that gender gap as well. Obviously, there is quite a big issue with women being able to play rugby league. So to boost that investment into women's rugby league is incredible to see.
That's amazing. It's going to do wonders, and it's really cool to be able to showcase what rugby league is doing across the Pacific, and hopefully on the back of that, PNG get the 18th NRL team.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I am gunning for that. Well, I'm not hoping that the PNG come into the 18th NRL team, but I think when we talk about rugby league, that investment won't just help aid in the women's game, it will also help with the staff. And I think being a player and experiencing that side of things, I know a lot of the staff haven't actually been able to do the full role description like they could, so run out on the field and things like that, because of maybe certificates or certifications. So now this investment will help boost those staff in those positions to be able to fully support their players.
Yeah, I remember when we spoke about the Pacific Championships last year, and also with the Mana Group, about empowering our people and upskilling them so they have them positions that they can be involved with our nation's team. So it's a great thing that's happening in PNG, and I'm looking forward to seeing more representatives in the staff members as well.
Yeah, 100%. Super excited for it. In other league news, Kiwi Blackfern and five-time gold medalist Stacey Waka has signed with the Brisbane Broncos.
Ooh, another one. Another. We should have one of those buttons that just push. Another one. Another one.
So who is she? Where's she gone?
Only a gold medalist.
How many more are heading over there?
Did you say gold medalist?
Five-time gold medalist.
Oh, five.
Olympics, Commonwealth Games, a World Series. She has accumulated 5 gold medals.
For rugby union?
Yeah.
For rugby union.
Ooh,
oh, well, she's achieved a lot in the game, so she'll come and dominate over there in league.
Where we will appreciate her skills,
mate,
her talents, and pay her what she's worth.
are you just drip-feeding these every week, like death by a thousand cuts, or and you're just banking them, or are they actually just coming out week after week?
They're literally coming out week after week. But mind you, this is probably one of the biggest signings in the year of someone coming over from rugby union to rugby league. But I am very interested to see where the Brisbane Broncos place her and what position she'll play.
Yeah, they're a very good team too, the Brisbane Broncos. So.
Well, they're sick of losing, so they had that dominance for a long time there. But now, what was it, Gold Coast Knights, they've come up. I think the Broncos are sick of being down the bottom, so they're trying to boost their stocks to try and get that title back.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you can poach them from rugby union, poach them.
Speaking of
rugby union, let's get there. What's happening in the women's game?
In the women's game, so it was the final round of the preseason games for Super W. So the Reds fought a tough preseason game against the Melbourne Rebels in what was reported to be some very tough conditions. So they said it was very hot and steamy game. But the Rebels did walk away with the win 24-17. So it was quite close in the end. Pernina Pacifica also played their final game of the preseason challenger against the Waratahs. Waratahs have had an exceptional preseason tournament and ended with a high after beating Pernina Pacifica 49-7.
There you go. Well, yeah, the Waratahs are looking good at the moment. With Fijiana in Fiji, they haven't had that many preseason games. They've only had the one. So their preparation is probably going to be a little bit more advanced than the Fijiana team over there. But Fiji is a tough place to win, like we've seen in the men's game. But the Pernina Pacifica girls, I guess from your point of view, Shelley, just seeing the representation come from the Pernina Pacifica, what have you made of that group being put together?
I think it's incredible. After following them through their journey and representing Pinina Pacifica and also all of the Pacific nations, I think it's incredible and inspiring. And I actually really look up to those girls that played. I watched a little snippet of one of the ladies from Pinina Pacifica who actually has a few kids, had to leave them behind, pay the bills prior to coming over, you know, to be able to afford the ability to play in there and the sacrifices that they make. And, you know, in rugby league, we obviously complain a lot sometimes, some would say, about the money that we receive. And to hear that story from those women who, you know, left everything behind to be able to represent Pinina Pacifica is incredible. And I definitely think that there's a lot of younger girls out there, and not even younger girls, but a lot of older girls too, who would love to get the opportunity. And they're definitely pioneers to the game and pioneers to the Pacific nations in rugby union.
Yeah, well said. I love that. And all you girls are doing amazing things. So on that note, we're going to finish on that positive note. Thank you so much for your time, Shelley, and all the best. And hopefully you get over for a try.
Go get him, Shelley.
Thanks, guys.
Culture Shock.
Yes, Culture Shock. Last week we heard about Samoan tattoos and the process and the history behind the men and the women doing a little bit differently. And this week, T, we are hearing about your tattoo. Is that right?
Yeah, I thought would go back to my homeland and someone who I consider the best tattoo artist in the world. I went straight to Rarotonga.
Nice.
We've got our man, Clive Nicholas, reporting live straight from the islands. Clive, thank you for joining us here on Nijin Footy.
Thanks for the invite.
First of all, we'll start with what style of tattoos do you do and why?
Polynesian tattoos, mainly consist of my bloodlines. My family's bloodline is mainly Samoan, Tongan, Tahitian, Maori, and Cook Island.
What are some of the biggest names you've tattooed? I've mentioned to the fellas here in the studio that you got to tattoo Missy Elliott. I just needed to get that confirmation from
them. And Tinara Arona too, two big names.
Oh, and myself, of course.
No, my late brother, Boy Nicholas, he blew it out of the water when he tattooed Missy Elliott. Another story was he was in the same house with the guy who tattooed The Rock. And he didn't know that this guy walked in. And because my brother's not a sporty person like me, although he was a former track and field athlete. But he wasn't into the WWF, and I was. So he did The Rock, and he was there when The Rock was getting done. But he did Missy Elliott.
Why do you think it's so important to our Asian people to be able to display artwork from our cultures and, you know, through our tattoos?
It shows our identity. It's that simple. In Raro, as we speak, it's starting to become more frequent now. Now people are starting to step out of the box now. We're sitting over here looking at Samoans, looking at Tongans, looking at our Maori people, and they just go with it. It's not that they don't care about religion. It's culture. It's who we are. It's identity. And Cook Islanders are starting to come to the fore now, starting to come to the front.
Finishing on a funnier note, has there been any footy players that have not finished their tattoo due to the pain? Because my brother over here has a tattoo on his back that he couldn't complete.
No, I'm patient, you know, with my tattoo. I'm still figuring out what I want on the back.
Well, the footy players and the athletes, they are the most, well, we say in our language, donut, which means donut. That is because we are more tense individuals. We're always training and we're athletes. So our bodies and our muscles are always hard, and those are the wrong people to tattoo.
Oh, so yeah, that makes sense, because I'm really muscly. Like my back is huge, like full of muscle. So it makes a lot of sense why it hurts so much.
Hey, I also remember you telling me about my tattoo when I asked you about the story, and you said a lot of it's based around the ocean, you know, the fishing nets, the spear, the animals of the ocean. Is that correct?
Yeah. Most of the Cook Island motifs are based around people, tribes, and mainly the voyage, the ocean. In Cook Islands, we have mainly our dolphin, the shark, and our turtles.
Awesome. I love it, brother. thank you. We'll finish on that note. But on behalf of everyone here at Nijin Footy, just want to appreciate you for everything that you do for our people. I know that your artwork is displayed across the world. And yeah, I just want to say on behalf of everyone here, much love.
Sweet, brother. Cheers.
Thanks.
Sure, brother.
Nijin Footy.
How good was that, Sammy? Reporting live from Rarotonga, Clive Nicholas. And he's an awesome character, awesome man as well. Next week.
Yeah, what have I got next week?
In culture, for Culture Shock.
Yes.
Let's go show some love to our brothers over in PNG, brothers and sisters in PNG. And let's go learn something about their culture.
Yeah, leave it with me. I'll go do some research and come back to us next week on Monday. Sort it out.
It's Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Well, T, our special guest this week, she was born in Apia Samoa, growing up in Western Sydney. She's played for the Wallaroos and she's number 181, playing 11 times in the green and gold, debuting against Fiji and playing at the World Cup. Recently joined the West Tigers for their first season in the NRLW, playing every game and scoring a whopping 30 points. We want to welcome to the show Pauline Piliae Rasembale. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Welcome.
Hey, guys. No, thank you guys for having me.
Nah, I'm real. Well, at the top of the show, when we're doing a bit of an intro and introducing you, I've just got a thing with union players crossing over to league. So I've just want to make that fact that I don't
Suki,
like it.
And
I found out you played a little bit of netball. So, and you high level netball, not just a little bit, high level. Could you have not just gone back to netball? Why did you have to go to rugby league?
So that's right. So I played netball pretty much all through my high schooling years. There was a point there where I just wasn't really passionate for the game as much. Then I decided I'd play a little bit of rugby sevens, and then that's kind of how it started.
Sam, you mentioned you were born in Apia, Samoa. Do you remember much from your upbringing or when you were born in Samoa?
No, nothing at all. So I think I was like, I hadn't even turned one and we had already moved over to New Zealand. Lived there for a few years before moving over to Sydney, and I think I would have been about 3 or 4 years old when we moved over.
What were the reasons for moving from Samoa?
I think my parents, they just kind of wanted a fresh start. They wanted to move to Australia and raise the kids there so then they can have much better support in terms of education and stuff like that.
We've seen you represented the Fetu Samoa at the end of last year. We'll touch on that shortly, but in regards to the Samoan culture, were you raised in with the Samoan values and the culture through your mum and dad?
I mean, yeah, there was a little bit of culture there. Grew up in a Catholic church as well with my dad and both my parents were very strong in the Catholic family. We would, have a few chores, fiaos, that's what they call, family gatherings where they'd have family meetings and stuff like that. But it wasn't like strict in our family household. Like even the language wasn't always spoken in our household, which I'm a little bit, bummed about because I would have loved to have learned the language. And if it was strict, and I would have, been able to speak the language to my elders. And it's just that, bit of respect to the elders as well. So, yeah, I would have loved to be able to do that.
Through your sporting journey then, have you been able to learn more about your Samoan culture in that way?
Yeah, a little bit actually, because we used to do a few programs when I was working for Creating Chances. So we'd have a couple of Pacifica programs. So that's been great, learning a couple of hymns, learning a little bit about the culture through arts and craft, through, tattooing, like just, doing up our designs and through the leaders that's in, part of our culture. So as well as the Fetu team, being able to learn a lot of the hymns and stuff and get more involved with it was, quite special,
The name Rasembale, is that?
That's Fijian, that's my husband's last name,
Oh, okay, so you've got two sons, yeah?
Yeah, two boys, yeah.
How are they going with cultural identity, mixing the Samoan and the Fijian together?
They love it. They've been embracing both of them. I mean, in New Zealand, we were around most of his family, so the language is spoken around them a lot, and through church, the songs and stuff like that, so they love it. And then, with my oldest, there was a, they had like a cultural group. So yeah, so he loves it. He just loves getting involved with all the songs and stuff.
Again, when it comes to the sporting field, do you try and sway them one way to the other when Fiji Samoa play?
Yeah, sometimes I would, especially if Samoa and Tonga are playing against each other. I'll be asking them, like, who are you supporting today? And then, you know, next game comes along and it's like, who are you supporting? It's a completely different answer. So, nah, but, you know, they love both cultures and stuff. So that's all we can, you know, be happy about.
All right, let's switch straight to your rugby union journey. We'll touch on the big reason why you moved over to rugby league shortly. But tell us about how moving from netball to rugby union, how that played out.
Yeah, so I was playing, so straight after high school I moved over to New Zealand, and so played a year of netball over there. That's when I started to, you know, I started to lose the passion for the game, and I was studying at the New Zealand Institute of Sports. So they had like a couple of sevens games and that was happening in training sessions, so I thought I'll, you know, start throwing the ball around and get involved with that thing. And then one of my mates there, she was like, hey, look, come to a 15s training session and see what you think of it. And so as soon as I went there, I started throwing the ball around and, you know, tackling girls just through some drills and stuff like that. And I just instantly, you know, enjoyed the game. I instantly loved it. So that's kind of how it started. I played my first year of 15s rugby over in Wellington. I played for Old Boys University. And then since then, I just really enjoyed it. You know, I was lucky enough to get picked up through the Wellington Pride team. So, I managed to get a one whole year of 15s and 7s in Wellington. That year, I think it was 2013, I believe, right through till 2019. It was quite on and off due to, you know, had two pregnancies, had a couple of major injuries in that period. But it wasn't until we moved over to Australia in 2019 where I started to really, like, you know, put my foot down and really focus on rugby union again.
Yeah, let's touch on your pregnancy. You know, you started playing and you're probably finding your feet to be really good at rugby, but you've had kids. Like, what was that like for you? Did you put it all on hold and you thought you were never going to go back to it? Or was it sort of like, I'm going to pop these kids out and I'm going straight back out on the field?
I mean, yeah, at the time, so played a whole year of rugby, you know, my first year playing 15s, and then the year after I was pregnant with my first, so that was 2015. Yeah, so like I felt like I did have to kind of put it on hold a little bit, you know, being a young mum, my partner, who I'm still with at the time, he had to kind of like, okay, well, what can I do? Like he has to start working, you know, to help support myself and the child as well. So, yeah, I did have to put it on hold for a little bit before going back into the field. So I think it wasn't until 2016 where I actually started getting back into rugby training.
And then when did the the second child play
the
a part.
Chicken child.
So I found out, so it's funny that actually, so I was injured, had a rupture in my knee 2016, completely trialing, just playing league muck around. Anyway, so after the whole year just waiting out, you know, doing my rehab and stuff, 2017, I was slowly getting back into some park footy. And I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting into a role. End of 2017, we started getting into some rugby sevens. I was like, okay, sweet. Like, I'll try and look to play some sevens and some rep footy there. And then, yeah, I found out that I was pregnant. I don't know, I was spewing up at one point at training session. I was like, okay, no, there's definitely something up here. So, yeah, and I found out that I was pregnant 2017, and then, yeah, gave birth in 2018, so I had to put a hold on my rugby career just a little bit longer.
Oh, wow. Obviously, kids are a blessing. I know you're never going to. Yes. But do you ever go to your husband and you go, man, did we really have to do it now? I'm just finding my feet. Like, were those conversations there towards your partner?
Yeah, a few times, yeah. But then I realised, like, you know, it was kind of a stop-start for me as well. Like, I hadn't really gotten onto a role, so I thought, you know, that's okay, like, this is a blessing, we'll do this now, and then when the time comes, then I can focus on all of that, which kind of did happen. It was in 2019, I'd finished playing sevens, and, you know, it's really early in the year where, you know, wasn't really sure what was happening. You're working as a teacher aide at the time, and my husband had gotten offered to relocate to Sydney, which kind of worked out because both our parents were living in Sydney. And so we were like, yep, I think that'll be good. You know, we have the two boys. They're still young. They haven't really started school yet. So, you know, we'll move over and start fresh. And then we can raise the boys there and they can go to school there. And so that's kind of, yeah, how it started. So when we moved over, he was, you know, working quite a lot and he decided to hang up his boots. And then, yeah, that kind of was my opportunity to... for me to be able to pursue those goals and pursue those dreams that I wanted to do. So, yeah.
Okay, so your partner was playing rugby?
Yes. So he was playing rugby over in New Zealand pretty much the whole time we were there, yeah.
Wow, so you moved over to Sydney and you moved over to Western Sydney, which I believe is a very, very strong rugby league area. You know, mm-hmm. They say that the best rugby league players come out of Western Sydney. Yes, I grew up there as well.
Except your area. That's it.
Is that the main reason why you switch codes?
Not entirely. So when we moved over in 2019, you know, my friend Kim, she was like playing rugby league at the time. So that's, I was just wanting to play some park footy just to kind of get my body moving and stuff like that. I wasn't really looking that far ahead to, you know, playing some rep level and all that kind of thing. That year we had so many bye weeks, so I was like, hey, look, I might play some rugby union during those bye weeks just to fill that time up. And then it wasn't until, you know, I was playing rugby union, that's kind of how I got picked up with the Sydney and the Waratahs. And so after a few years of Waratahs, you know, achieving the goals that I had set myself, so, you know, being able to debut in the gold jersey, being able to represent Australia and playing my first Rugby World Cup was, you know, awesome experience, and to be able to tick those goals off, I, you know, pretty proud. So then I realised I'm not getting any younger. I was 29, I was turning 30 years old, and, you know, NRL has always been something that I've wanted to do, and I could see that the NRLW game was just getting bigger as well. Like, there's just a lot more attraction, a lot more support around it, and I felt like I had ticked off the Rugby World Cup, I had ticked off a gold jersey, and I felt like that could have been my opportunity to take that with both hands, you know, being my age as well, you know, with two kids and everything. So, yeah, so that's kind of one of the main reasons why I wanted to go down that rugby league path, and the kids as well. So, you know, during my rugby career, I spent a lot of time away from the kids. So I wanted to, like, kind of take that risk and go down that path, and if the contract had come along, I knew I would have been home a lot more with the kids and spend more time with them and, you know, take them to trainings and stuff like that, because I know I missed a lot of that over the last couple of years.
Yeah, nice. Sorry, how old are your kids at the moment?
So 9 and 5, turning 6 in April.
Yeah, beautiful. So with your whole, obviously, amazing achievements, World Cup, Wallaroos cap,
you know, Fetu Samoa.
Fetu Samoa as well, and we'll get into that as, you know, representing your country. But for your kids, what's it like for them just to see in the home their mum being the hero and being on TV and having those conversations where we're so used to it being probably the other way around, where it's dad achieving those goals? What's it been like for yourself and your household?
It's been great. Like, you know, the kids obviously have been around the game for so long. They love being able to see me out on the field, you know, having them on the sideline with me as well. Like, you know, sometimes I'll pick them up from school and, you know, their friends might have watched the game over the weekend and they're like, hey, look, did you see my mum was on TV and stuff like that? Like, yeah, like, I love hearing those little things coming out of my kids. And yeah, like, it just makes me feel so good inside, because not only am I showing the kids that, you know, us mums can do it, but I'm showing, you know, everyone else, all the other women in the game or in the other sports that they can also do it with, you know, kids on the sideline and stuff. So, yeah.
You're an inspiration. What was it like playing for the Wallaroos 1 year, and then the very next year you're going over to Papua New Guinea in the Pacific Championships representing Samoa?
Oh, honestly, looking back at it, I never would have pictured myself, you know, playing league, let alone playing for Samoa, for Tu Samoa. You know, I thought about it one day, but, you know, I never really thought, you know, one day I was playing Rugby World Cup and then the next year, yeah, playing for Samoa. But honestly, it's been an awesome experience, definitely a roller coaster, but an awesome experience in that, you know, being able to go over to PNG, take in the culture and everything, and be able to stand side by side and sing that national anthem for the very first time, you know, the awesome experience.
What were you thinking about in those moments of receiving your jersey, putting it on, running out on the field and then singing that anthem? What were the moments that were going through your head and who you're playing for?
So I was thinking a lot about my family, especially my parents, those sacrifices they've had to make. Sorry, I don't know why I'm getting so emotional about this, but, yeah, so obviously my parents, they made the sacrifice to have to move away from their home country to Australia to support their kids, you know, to be able to build their kids up around all, you know, education and support and stuff like that. And the sacrifice that they've had to make, you know, my parents having to drive me to all my training sessions and stuff as a young kid. So, yeah, those were the things that was going in the back of my mind, being, you know, receiving that jersey and singing that national anthem. Yeah, just makes me think how grateful I am to be able to have them and, you know, everything that they've learned and that they've taught me over the years to help me get to where I am today, yeah.
That's beautiful. Sorry, got marbles on my throat. That's beautiful. It's I understand that emotion because, you know, it hits different when you're representing your culture and your bloodline and your family. So yeah. It's a special moment. What was the reaction from your family when you represented the Fitz Samoa?
Oh, they were super excited. It was funny because I didn't actually tell my parents straight away. I think it was a week after I had gotten the news, I had told my dad about the whole thing. I think I rang him and was like, hey, look, Dad, I'm going to PNG. I'm going to play for the Samoan side. And I could tell in his voice he was getting a little bit emotional. But, yeah, I think he was just super proud of it. He just couldn't wait to watch the game and stuff like that. So, yeah.
So NRLW last year, you know, what was that experience like playing in the NRLW for the West Tigers?
It was also like nothing like I expected. Like I knew the game was obviously tough, fast and everything, but yeah, as soon as I played the first game, the physicality was just so big and everything, like hits and everything. But yeah, the whole experience itself, being the first club in the NRLW competition, being the first of, you know, first of everything and embracing all of that, yeah, it's definitely something special. You're building that legacy. You're pretty much the start of the legacy that's now everyone that's coming through the program is can see that. So yeah, I definitely enjoyed my time there and I can't wait for this year.
Final question from me, rugby league, rugby union, which code do you prefer?
Oh, honestly, that's a tough question because I still feel like I'm stuck in between.
Just be honest. Just say union. Just be honest.
Just say whatever pays the bills. Whatever pays the bills.
It's both, you know, both different games. I love union. I love the union. That the fact that you feel like you can almost play anything and play what's in front of you. I personally felt like I had a little bit more time and space to be able to make decisions and stuff like that. League, I enjoy the physicality. I enjoy having to kind of like think on the go when things change, like you're working your percentages and I'm still learning the game. So I was playing different positions as well. I was playing fullback more in union and now I'm playing in the halves. So very different. Yeah, no, I don't know if I can answer that question right now, but yeah, no, both great games. I think I loved the both of them. Yeah.
Yeah, well done. Stay neutral. You stay safe.
Sit on the fence.
You sit on the fence.
Like
well
me
done.
And Sammy do all the time.
But Pauline, honestly, we really appreciate your time coming on here and sharing a bit of your journey, especially the words that and the emotions that you spoke about with representing Samoa and singing the anthem and the sacrifices your family made for you to be here today. You know, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, and I'm sure all of our listeners will get a lot out of that and relate to that story. So with the NRLW season coming up, we want to wish you all the best, and hopefully, yeah, we can see you back in the Samoan jersey very soon.
Awesome. No, thank you so much, guys, for having me.
No, appreciate you.
Nation knowledge.
Righto, T, get the gloves out. Kick the tyres. Let's light the fires. We've got some...
let's go.
We're on here.
And did you see Anthony Joshua on the weekend?
Yes, I did.
That's going to be me today here on Nation Footy.
Really? You're going for a knockout first round punch?
Straight in the nose.
Straight in the snorkel. Perfect. Well, here we go.
The score is 5-3 to
5-3
you.
To me?
Yes, 5-3.
Yes, I was shocked there. I was usually losing everything.
Yes, on Nation Knowledge. And the loser at the end of the year has to get a Nation Footy tattoo on their backside.
Yeah, I'm going to go fly to the Raro, or we're going to go fly Raro and get Clive to do it for us.
He'll make it look cool.
Yeah, tell a story.
Yeah, well, let's just both get
our bloodline.
You won't even be able to get it finished, mate.
Yeah, but before we kick off on my questions, I went to, I did say I was going to get a player, and I did make up that he was general manager, and you called my bluff.
You were bluffing. Wow.
You called my bluff.
I knew it.
I was like, no way this guy's looked at his title. I just knew that he was going to guarantee get back
to me. Let's give the people some what happened last night. So he sent a screenshot from some bloke.
My mate Shane Hussain.
So he said, oh, what does a draw mean now that he's gone and replied a war canoe?
Yes, double hole, war canoe.
Many meanings. But last week, Sammy said he was going to go find a player. So I said, oh, yeah, so is this guy a player? He goes, no, he's the GM.
Just to make it sound mad.
Now I've gone and Googled this bloke, and he's the head of marketing. And he goes, well, head of marketing and GM. So
yeah, I made it up because you called my bluff. Well done for researching. Good stuff. ChatGPT is really working for you these days. But, anyway, it's a war canoe, double hole. So give me the full point, and we'll go from there.
You got all right. 5-3, mate. You got your point.
Here we go. From the past, Julian Savea just broke Israel Folau's try-scoring record.
Yes.
Savea is on 61. Israel Folau is on 60. Which other Nijan footy star comes in at number 3 on 59? He's of Tongan heritage.
Past player?
Past player.
Okay. Is Ma'omanonu, is he Tongan or Samoan?
I'll claim him, but he's Samoan.
Oh, damn. He would have been my guess. Jonah Lomu.
Oh, very close, but no. Dougie Howlett.
Doug Howlett. He looks like you too.
Yeah, he's the better looking version of me. As I was going to say that, but that would have given it away.
Damn, that's a fair while ago.
It was a fair while ago.
For the Blues.
Which Lay Snacks Tigers, PNG team in the local comp, PNG Hunters and PNG Kumu superstar, which player has signed with the Warrington Wolves out of the great country of PNG? Signed at Warrington Wolves this year.
Wow, another great question, Sammy. Showing some love to our PNG brothers and sisters.
Yes, yes, yes. And he is a try-scoring machine.
Is he now?
Yes, he is. So there's a clue for you. I'm generous today. I'm feeling generous giving you clues.
Because you know the answers are hard. It's not Alex Johnson, obviously. One of the Labor brothers. No, but he didn't live in PNG. They were born, they grew up in Queensland. Robert Darby.
Oh, you got the first initial right.
Robert Labert.
Nah, Roderick Tai. Roderick Tai signed with the Warrington Wolves.
Roderick Tai.
There we go.
So is he from PNG?
From PNG, yeah.
Like lived over there?
Lived over there.
He'll love the weather over there.
He is, yeah, I bet. All right, this one's my out the box. There's a provincial representative club, a rugby league club, in Vanuatu, based in the capital of Port Vila on the island of, I think they said, Efate. Efate. So shout out to Vanuatu, all our listeners out there. Yes. Yes.
Always love to Vanuatu.
Much love. They are known as the Port Vila what? What's their animal?
The Port Vila sea eagles.
The Port Vila fire ants. Shout out to
fire ants.
Shout out to the Port Vila fire ants.
Wow.
They were good questions.
That difficulty level was very, very hard. Yes. But I like it because you know what's coming next week. Yeah? You want to play like that?
All right, but give me some clues. I gave you a few clues, but that's our time up. Knees and footy, remember, there's recent chats with Payne Haas and a couple of the Penina Pacifica girls, which you can listen back to wherever you get your podcasts.
0 points.
Knees and footy, we're on.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.